Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English.
Today on the program, you will hear from Pete Musto and John Russell. Later, Steve Ember will present our American history series, The Making of a Nation. But first, safari operator Pankaj Shah would usually be showing tourists around the beautiful areas in his native Kenya. Instead, he is leading a volunteer effort to feed thousands of families. Many Kenyans found themselves with little money when the new coronavirus attacked the country's economy. One old woman told us she hadn't eaten for days, Shaw said as he walked along a line of men putting food into containers. Kenya reported its first case of the coronavirus on March 12th. The following week, schools closed. So did many businesses. Some families left the capital, Nairobi. The work that paid most people in populated areas came to a halt. As the area went into total lockdown, the forgotten families in poor neighborhoods began to starve. People were getting hungry and angry, Shaw said. He knew someone had to act. Shaw asked a few friends to help. A school closed by the virus offered its building as a headquarters. Kenya's Asian community answered the call. They brought money or truckloads of fresh food that could no longer be exported. Shaw's volunteers call themselves Team Pankaj. They have sent out 24,000 hampers of food since March 22nd. Each container has enough food to feed a family of five people for 2 weeks. He is asking wealthy Kenyans to donate about $40 each to support the program. I just need half the rich people here to care enough to pay for a container, he says. His telephone rings with community leaders, clergymen, and others asking for help. Shaw tests each possible partner with a small number of boxes to see how well they distribute the food. If the small distribution is successful, he gives them more. Recently, he sent two truckloads of food to the deep sea slum where many poor people live. People waited in line and put their fingers in ink before walking away with the containers of vegetables. Pankaj Shah has never operated any kind of aid program before the coronavirus arrived in his country. He says he is guided by a memory. He met Mother Teresa over 30 years ago in Nairobi when the two were involved in a traffic accident. The incident brought an unlikely friendship between a young, wild businessman and the Catholic religious worker, he said. The world-famous missionary cared for the poor. Shaw said he volunteered with Mother Teresa for 3 months. I think about what she would do, he says.
A long, thin object moving through our solar system may be the remains of a planet that was pulled apart, scientists say. Researchers say the planet was likely destroyed long ago when it moved either too far from or too close to the star it once orbited. The object is called Oumuamua, which means messenger from afar in the native Hawaiian language. A report on the recent findings appears in the journal Nature Astronomy. Scientists have been trying to understand more about Oumuamua since its discovery in 2017. Some have even proposed it may be an alien spacecraft. In the recently published research, astronomers Yun Zhang and Douglas Lin said computer predictions suggest the object was a piece of a planet or planetary building block. The planet might have been torn apart by its star's tidal forces. Oumuamua is the first object from another star system found passing through our solar system. It is about 400 meters long. Its shape, strange way of moving, and lack of dust and gases suggest it is not a normal comet or asteroid. When a smaller body passes near a much bigger one, tidal forces created by the larger body can destroy the smaller one. Zhang told the Reuters news agency that most planetary bodies are made of groups of rocks joined under the influence of gravity. In a way, they are similar to the sand castles that children make at the beach, except that they are floating through space, Zhang said. Their structure can be disrupted when the force acting on the individual sand particle is larger than their mutual gravity, he added. Zhang noted that ocean tides on Earth are affected in this way. Tides result from the gravitational pulls of the sun and moon. In space, a planetary body that comes close enough to a star falls victim to its strong gravitational pull. Lin is an astrophysicist at the University of California, Santa Cruz. He said the star that destroyed Oumuamua's home world probably was 1/10 to 8/10 of the mass of our sun. Or it might have been a rare kind of cool and dense star called a white dwarf, Lin added. I'm Pete Musto.
Many students ask VOA Learning English about studying. They want to know the best ways to improve their learning. In this week's Education Tips, we will explore four methods you can use: focusing, testing yourself, interleaving, and teaching. One of the best ways to organize your study session is to use the Pomodoro technique. It is a powerful but simple method that helps people focus on a task. The idea is to use a timer. Let's say you set the timer for 20 minutes and focus only on your studies during that time. You cannot check email, send text messages, or do anything aside from your task. When the timer goes off, you can reward yourself by listening to some music or having a drink of tea. You can repeat the process as many times as needed. If you would like to learn more details about the Pomodoro technique, You can read a previous education tip story on our website, learningenglish.voanews.com. When you are studying, you should test yourself often. If you are using a textbook, then you can do practice questions from the end of each chapter, as we suggested in an earlier education tips. You can also find all kinds of online tests and quizzes for many subjects. Flashcards are another tool. There are free flashcard programs, or you could use pieces of paper. The point is that you make your questions somewhat difficult and then practice with them regularly. But you should be careful about flashcards. Think carefully about making different kinds of questions. Many language learners put a vocabulary word on one side of a flashcard and the definition on the back. Every flashcard suggests the same basic question: what does this word mean? While it is useful to remember what different words mean, be sure to make other kinds of questions. Why questions or how questions, for example? So, you might ask, why are determiners important? Or, how can I tell the difference between the progressive tense and the simple tense? When most people study, they do blocked practice. In other words, they only study one topic at a time. But research suggests that a different kind of practice, interleaved practice, may be better for long-term learning. Interleaving is a technique that means you mix different topics. So, for example, in one study session, you might spend time testing yourself on vocabulary words and then test yourself on grammar. Or, if studying math, you could mix multiplication and division problems. A 2020 study published in the Journal of Educational Psychology found that interleaved study was much better than blocked practice. The study examined 54 seventh-grade math classes over a period of 4 months. Some classes did interleaved assignments, while other classes did blocked assignments. 1 month later, students took a surprise test. The results were powerful. The interleaved group outscored the blocked group 61% versus 38%, the researchers wrote. Teaching is also a powerful way to learn. In a study published in Contemporary Education Psychology, researchers compared different groups of students. Some students did not expect to have to teach information, while others did. Researchers Fiorella and Mayer wrote that when students actually teach a lesson, they develop a deeper and more persistent understanding of the material than from solely preparing to teach. In the Guardian newspaper, David Robson points out ways to teach others, even if you are alone. If you don't have a willing partner, you could imagine describing it to someone, or draft an email setting out what you've learned in as much detail as possible, Robson wrote. You can put all these techniques together to make a powerful study plan. For example, you might organize your study sessions with the Pomodoro technique. Then you can test yourself and interleave different topics. After that, you could take a break, reward yourself, and do another Pomodoro session. I'm John Russell.
Welcome to The Making of a Nation, American History in VOA Special English. I'm Steve Ember. We look back at some of the social issues and cultural changes in America in the 1970s and 80s. In some ways, the 1980s seemed like the opposite of the 1960s. The 60s were years of protest for social justice and change. Many Americans demonstrated against the Vietnam War. Blacks demonstrated for civil rights. Women demonstrated for equality. Many people welcomed new social programs created by the government. By the 1980s, however, many people seemed more concerned with themselves than with helping society. To them, success was measured mainly by how much money a person made. People wanted to live the good life, and that took money. The changes started to become evident during the 1970s. For a while, these years brought a continuation of the social experiments and struggles of the 60s. But then, people began to see signs of what society would be like in the 80s. There were a number of reasons for this change. One reason was the end to America's military involvement in Vietnam after years of war. Another was the progress of civil rights activists and the women's movement toward many of their goals. A third reason was the economy. During the 1970s, the United States suffered a recession. Interest rates and inflation were high. A shortage of imported oil as a result of tensions in the Middle East only added to the problems. As the 1970s went on, many Americans became tired of economic struggle. They also became tired of social struggle. They had been working together for common interests. Now, many wanted to spend more time on their own interests. This change appeared in many parts of society. It affected popular culture, education, and politics.
Let me hear your idea again.
Okay, I want us to watch Jack Lemmon and a group of famous scientists discuss pollution and ecology on Channel 13.
Good. And I want to watch football highlights on Channel 2. Now, guess what's going to happen?
One of the most popular television programs of that time was a comedy series that often dealt with politics and serious social issues. The show was called All in the Family. The family was led by a factory worker named Archie Bunker. Carol O'Connor played Archie, and Gene Stapleton played his wife, Edith. The Bunkers lived in a working-class neighborhood in the Queens borough of New York City. Archie represented the struggles of the blue-collar working man against the social changes in America. He loved his country and was socially conservative in the extreme.
What about John Wayne? Before you say anything, let me warn you. When you're talking about the Duke, we're just talking about an actor. You're talking about the spirit that made America great.
Are you kidding?
His opinions on subjects like race and women's equality were always good for an argument with his liberal daughter and even more liberal son-in-law.
Good, I can mail my letter today and it'll get to Washington by Monday.
Washington? Are you writing to Washington?
That's right, Michael wrote the president.
You write to the president about what?
All the things we've been talking about. The pollution of our air, the pollution of our water, the way us housewives have no protection from foods without nutrition, how they make products with harmful things in them. Like, you saw what happened to Michael from that shirt.
You, Michael Stivnik, meathead, you have the nerve to write to the President of the United States about your rash?
Edith would always try to make peace.
Maybe he knows a good skin man.
Another popular program, Happy Days, about family life in the 1950s, offered an escape from the social issues of the day.
Goodbye, gray sky, hello blue. There's nothing can hold me when I hold you. Seems so right, it can't be wrong. Rocking and rolling all week long.
Music also changed. In the 1960s, folk music was popular. Many of those folk songs were about social issues. But in the 1970s, there was hard rock and punk.
Here's Wonder Mike, Hank, and Master G, the Sugar Hill Gang.
And in 1979, a group called the Sugar Hill Gang brought rap music to national attention with a hit called Rapper's Delight.
And me, the groove, and my friends are gonna try to move your feet. You see, I am Wonder Mike, and I like to say hello. Up to the black, to the white, the red, and the brown, and the purple, and yellow. But first, I gotta bang, bang, the boogie to the boogie. Say up, jump the boogie to the bang, bang, boogie, let's rock.
In bookstores, the growing number of self-help books offered another sign of social change. These books advised people about ways to make themselves happier. One of the most popular self-help books was I'm Okay, You're Okay by Dr. Thomas A. Harris. It was published in 1969 and led the way for many other popular psychology books throughout the 70s. Politically, the United States went through several changes during the 1970s. For most of the 60s, the nation was governed by liberal democratic administrations. Then, in 1968, a conservative Republican, Richard Nixon, was elected president. Nixon won a second term 4 years later, but had to resign in 1974 because of the Watergate scandal. Nixon's vice president, Gerald Ford, took his place. 2 years later, Ford was defeated by Jimmy Carter, a Democrat who, until then, was little known nationally. The election showed that Americans were angry with the Republican Party because of Watergate, but they soon became unhappy with President Carter. They blamed him for failing to improve the economy and for failing to end a crisis involving American hostages in Iran. He lost his re-election campaign to Ronald Reagan.
Are you better off than you were 4 years ago?
Reagan, a Republican, won two terms and led the nation during most of the 1980s. For many people, the Reagan years offered a renewed sense of economic opportunity. Reagan reduced taxes, which increased his popularity. But the national debt grew as he raised military spending to put pressure on the Soviet Union. The self-centeredness of many people in the 70s and 80s gave rise to terms like the me generation. And there was the rise of yuppies, young urban professionals remaking older neighborhoods in cities, often displacing poorer people. Popular entertainment at that time was often about financial success.
Premiering Sunday, April 2nd, Dallas, where money buys power and passion breeds conflict.
Dallas was a TV drama about a Texas oil family with more money and more problems than they knew what to do with. It became a hit, not just in the United States, but around the world. Actor Larry Hagman played J.R.
Well, your daddy lacked the killer instinct. He forgave those who transgressed against him. People just weren't afraid of him. And he overlooked old J.R.'s golden rules.
And what might they be?
Don't forgive and don't forget. And do unto others before they do unto you. And most especially, keep your eye on your friends, because your enemies will take care of themselves. Oh, and one other thing. The oil business is a little bit like a poker game. It's good to get caught bluffing early on, because after that, somebody's going to call you when you got a winning hand.
Dynasty was another popular series about rich people behaving badly. One of its stars was veteran actor John Forsythe.
Those banks are going to find out that they've got more than they can handle. Denver Carrington is Blake Carrington. And they'll come begging to me to run that company again. I know they will. And I'll make them get down on their knees when they come begging.
There was also Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous, a series about real-life wealthy people, hosted by Robin Leach.
Our bustling capital city combines the chic with the freak, the old guard with the avant-garde. So let's go upper deck with a couple of my good friends and run away with the rich and famous.
And at the movie theater, there was the 1987 film Wall Street.
The point is, ladies and gentlemen, that greed, for lack of a better word, is good. Greed is right. Greed works.
Michael Douglas played a character named Gordon Gekko, who earns his wealth by raiding companies and illegally trading on inside information.
Greed clarifies, cuts through, and captures the essence of the evolutionary spirit. Greed, in all of its forms, greed for life, for money, for love, knowledge, has marked the upward surge of mankind, and greed, you mark my words, will not only save Teldar Paper, but that other malfunctioning corporation called the USA. Thank you very much.
Good triumphed over evil in the Rambo action films starring Sylvester Stallone. He played a troubled hero who had fought in Vietnam. The films were violent, but they represented a more positive view than society had shown in the past toward veterans of that unpopular war. In the 1980s, people came to fear a new disease that could be spread by sex or blood. It was the rise of the AIDS epidemic. At the same time, a new drug, crack cocaine, started a wave of violence in American cities. Technology was also on the rise.
You don't have to be a genius to use a computer. Let Computerland show you how easy it is to manage your own small business or home finances with the Atari 800. Record keeping, information, communication, and a world of new ideas from Atari.
Personal computers appeared in more and more offices, schools, and homes. The 1980s brought stardom to young entertainer Michael Jackson. And no history of the 80s would be complete without noting the rise of music television, better known as MTV.
Look at them yo-yos, that's the way you do it. You play the guitar on MTV. That ain't working, that's the way you do it. Money for nothing and your chips are free. We got some installed microwave ovens, custom kitchen delivery.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.
This is